Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard Senior Director of Charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
And this is where we look at why what's on the charts is on the charts. And we're kicking off a special four-part feature. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be celebrating the Billboard Hot 100's 60-year history. As the Hot 100 started August 4th, 1958. So online, we're counting down the chart's top 600 songs. We've never done that before. We've done 100 before, Trevor, but we're going 600 songs deep. The 600 biggest songs, that's out of 27,000 songs, more than that, that have ever hit the Hot 100. So you're talking the absolute biggest of the biggest hits ever. And that's out of 7,500 artists that have ever hit the Hot 100. So you look at those percentages. These are just absolutely the biggest hits.
All right. So both of those available right now on Billboard.com if you want to get ahead. If you don't, and you want to count through with us, stay tuned. We'll be doing that coming up forward. And also, if you are a satellite radio fan, you can also check out on Sirius XM through this Sunday, which is going to be August 5th, a chronological ride through the number ones from the very first one back in 1958. That is going to be Ricky Nelson's Poor Little Fool, which goes a little like this.
I used to play around with hearts, hasten at my call. But when I met that little girl, I knew that I would fall. Poor little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
And we're going to fast forward all the way to the current number one. Once again, Drake's In My Feelings, which if somehow you forgot what that sounds like, even though it's been all over the internet for the past couple of weeks, this is how it goes.
Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always,
KB. All right, so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to count down the top 100 songs all time on the Billboard Hot 100, 25 at a time for each episode. We'll give some background about some of these elite hits. Again, the top 100 among over 27,000 songs ever to hit the Hot 100. You know, there have been 1,077 number ones. That was Drake's In My Feelings, number 1,077. So again, these are the top 100 songs out of just even the number ones. And we're going to hear some songs that didn't even hit number one, some number twos coming up. So again, to be in this group of the top 100 just shows how absolutely historic these hits are coming up. So first, I just want to start with one thing. In doing research for all the chart and editorial recaps we've been doing for this feature, I spoke to Steve Resnick, who does advertising for industry newsletter RIMP, stands for Radio and Music Pros. He's a Hot 100 historian. He has an 18-room museum in his house in Los Angeles. I haven't been there, but...
Okay, stop.
Yeah.
18-room museum.
Yeah. What's his house? House/museum. I don't know if
I mean,
know
like what's Tom Cruise doesn't have an 18-room house.
He's amassed all this memorabilia over the years, so I really want to go out and see it at some point. But so Steve knew Tom Noonan really well. You know Seymour Stein really well, and those two guys, along with Paul Ackerman of Billboard, They all started the Hot 100 back in 1958. So we're going back 60 years. Just wanted to talk about how the chart started for a moment 60 years ago. Here's a couple of quick clips from Steve. We talked the other day about the beginning of the Hot 100. One of the things we talked about, because Steve, again, he knows Seymour Stein well, he knew Tom Noonan well, wanted to find out who actually started the Hot 100 in the late 50s, both the idea and the name. Was it Seymour? Was it Tom Noonan? Who was it? Here's what Steve said.
All the times I've been with Seymour, talking about old times, and all the times even more that I spent with Tom, their stories about the Hot 100 couldn't be any different. Only in one respect, and that is each of them take full credit. Tom had nothing to do with it. I gave him the idea of the Hot 100 in the summer of 57. And Tom said, I mentioned it to Seymour and he thought it was a good idea, but it was all my idea. Seymour, it wasn't Seymour's idea, you know. And so they never gotten any heat over it. They just, you know, kidded around, but they right. each are adamant that they invented it. So I have no clue who really, you know, came up with it. But one of those two came up with it.
All right, so it's a mystery. I actually spoke to Seymour Stein a couple years ago, too, and he said the same thing. Can't remember who came up with the name Hot 100. So it's kind of funny. 60 years later, it's such an iconic part of Americana at this point, and nobody seems to know where the name came from. All right. Also, why do we care so much about the Hot 100? It's not just a chart. It's not just a listing of songs every week. It really is more than that. It's a reflection of pop culture overall, not even just music, over the years. Here's what Steve said about that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, when I give tours in my collection now, all 18 rooms. Some rooms are 1 minute, like with the Monkees, you know, it's nothing against the Monkees. It's fun, but 1 minute you see it. But then the Elvis room, everybody spends 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Every room is different, but I always tell people it's not just a history of music, not just a history of Elvis. It's a history of the entire world and what was going on at a certain time.
People want to know what was number one when the moon landing was. What was number one, you know, right before John Lennon died? It sort of becomes this diary and this marker of what was going on in both U.S. and world history. And not many things tell that story better than music because it's so much a part of our emotions. So it makes total sense.
It doesn't matter whether it was when they were wearing bell bottoms or, you know, or when this kind of a... When the Edsel came out, there was a song out at the exact same time that all those things happened.
And we know that you all are fans of the Hot 100 because you tune into this podcast every week. So let's go ahead and get started with the main attraction, which is going to be the beginning of the countdown of the top 100 songs on the Hot 100 all time. Remember, we're going through the first 25 today. We'll be back with the next 25 next week and so on until we finish 4 weeks, one solid month of countdowns.
Yeah, let's get right into it. Right now, the top 100 will start with numbers 100 through 96.
Let's get started. Number 100. You guys just heard the song Waiting for a Girl Like You by our friends Foreigner. As I mentioned at the top of the show, not all of these songs, number one hits, though of course many of them are, but Foreigner proven you don't have to be number one to make the list. The song actually, I guess rather unfortunately, number two for 10 weeks back in 1981, that still 10 weeks is the most any song has had to wait in the runner-up spot and not get to number one. Fans of Missy Elliott, of course, will lament that that also happened to her with the song Work It, stuck behind Eminem's Lose Yourself in 2002. So, of course, with 10 weeks of number two, that kind of gives it some more juice over some other number ones to make the cut. 99, we had Family Affair by Mary J. Blige. Kind of talking in the vein of number twos. This song, interesting to me because Mary J. Blige had been out for about 10 years almost by the time Family Affair came around. And in that span, she'd had three top tens already on the Hot 100 in her heyday, really, in the mid-90s. And in particular, of course, fans of Mary will know that Not Gonna Cry from the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack, a number two hit at the top of 1996. It's one of those things where I feel like, obviously, I'm not an artist who's hit number two on the Hot 100, but it feels like, you know, maybe if you get that number two, you start to wonder, can I ever, you know, am I going to get that number one? I've been so close. Will this happen? And of course, the returns for Mary started, you know, slipping. She had not been back in the top 10 since Not Gonna Cry, about 5 years before Family Affair came out, though she had still been putting out music. The returns not as big, so it makes you kind of wonder. So that's why I like the story in particular, because then almost 10 years into a career, this huge record, Dr. Dre produced, everyone knows it. Interestingly enough, you may not know it from the title, because the words Family Affair are actually not in the lyrics. So you can't hear Mary singing Family Affair because she doesn't sing Family Affair.
Right.
But also kind of funny then, one of those cases as well where a song hits number one without the title in the song lyrics. And that kind of, I guess, became a thing in particular around the 2001-2002 era. We're going to see another song coming up in the same chunk of the countdown that has that same situation coming up a little later. Also another massive hit where you never hear that title in the song. All right, right above Mary at number 98, you guys heard I Swear by All For One, another double-digit number one on the Hot 100 back in 1994. Right above that, the very famous cover of Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor, originally, of course, written by Prince. That song, as done by Sinead, went to number one for 4 weeks in 1990. And right above that, coming in at number 96 on the all-time list of Hot 100 hits, All Night Long, the everyone's favorite little Caribbean jam by our friend Lionel Richie, which also was a number one smash back in 1983.
Your buddy, Lionel Richie, who you talked to a couple years ago, Trevor. We're actually going to play a clip of that interview coming up, and Lionel has actually multiple songs in the top 100.
And not only as an artist. All right, so already we have some pretty famous songs. What could be coming up next? We've got numbers 95 through 91 of the top Hot 100 hits of all time coming your way.
favorite song. When you said you looked a mess, I whispered underneath my breath, but you heard it. Darling, you look perfect tonight. Well, I found a man stronger than anyone I know. He shares my dreams. I hope that someday.
All right, going a little 70s heavy in that group of five songs. Remember, 95 to 91, the biggest Hot 100 hits of all time, the top 100. We're counting them down. Back at number 95, My Sharona by The Knack, number one hit in 1979. More Lionel Richie. We heard him back at number 96 with All Night Long, All Night. Say You Say Me, the softer side of Lionel Richie. And again, he's got more songs coming up in the countdown. We'll hear from him coming up. But that was number one in 1985, 1986. Wild Cherry back in the 70s again, 1976, number one for Play That Funky Music. Carly Simon, You're So Vain, 1973, number one hit. Want to hear my brush with fame with Carly Simon?
I'll answer for the listeners and say, of course.
I was interning at Mix 98.5 in Boston in 1994, 1995. She called to speak to the music director. I said, oh, who's calling? She said, it's Carly Simon. I was kind of amazed by that. My big conversation was, I said, oh, okay, something like that. And we didn't really talk, but I thought it was kind of cool that she was on the phone. I guess I've talked to her. Not really. I didn't really say anything to her.
So that's the brush?
That's the story.
I like it.
It was worth it.
I like it. I thought, not even physical, just verbal. Nice.
Number 91, Ed Sheeran, Perfect. This is actually the newest song on the countdown. It's the only song in the top 100 that was number one here in 2018. So I got to number one at the end of 2017. And interesting billing, the way this worked out is the remix with Beyonce came out after the song was already on the chart. So it was released as a solo song by Ed on his latest album, Divide. And then the remix with Beyonce came out, and that helped shoot it right to number one. So for 6 weeks, it was number one. Beyonce was credited on five of those weeks. The remix really contributed to the song's overall activity for those first 5 weeks, and then just kind of faded, and the Ed version was getting more consumption overall. So that's kind of the ins and outs of how that worked. But yeah, the newest, the most recent number one here on the top 100. If you remember, Trevor, earlier this year, we had Ed Sheeran's brother, Matt. He came in, was on the podcast. We thought it'd be really fun to get the perspective of from Matt, from his brother, of how Ed Sheeran's life has changed, how their lives have changed, and Matt as well with his own music career. So we really had a fun chat earlier this year with Matt Sheeran, Ed Sheeran's brother, and told a funny story how we talked about Perfect. And we were saying, you know, the song's become so huge. It had been number one, and Ed played the song from one of the first people to hear it ever. And Matt gave his reaction to whether he thought Perfect would be a huge hit at the time when he first heard it.
I'm not listening to it at the moment. I'm trying to take some time out.
You know, for a song, I think for a lot of people, when we hear it, you know, in the past couple months on the radio, how long have you been sitting with this song in terms of your idea? Or like, is this something that, you know, you've been playing with for 3 years and now we're already...
April 2016, and the song was written in August 2015. So it's been around for a very long time.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So it's been all...
Yeah, I know.
We're just
tell
catching
me about
up.
It, right? Yeah, yeah.
So how did you first hear it? Did Ed just play it for you one day?
Yeah, we were in the car and he was playing me all the new songs of the album, many of which aren't on there. And yeah, no, the Perfect was the least sort of produced one. It was very sort of out of tune guitar, like a very rough recording, and all the other ones were more sort of produced and stuff. I didn't really sort of take any notice of it, to be honest. And then
really,
then he came back later, he's like, oh, do you remember that song Perfect? And I was like, yeah, and actually I didn't remember it. Yeah,
so he was all excited about it because it was different. It was the ballad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He had a vision in his head which no one else could hear. So, yeah.
Was there a song that he did play in that drive that stood out to you?
I really like Dive. It's a shame that wasn't a single. I think that's probably my favorite on the album.
Well, it's still time, yeah.
Yeah, no, there was one called, what was it called? What Do I Know? I watched that. I watched him writing that, and that was, I really like that one. That's pretty fun. Yeah, no, it's a cool album. Yeah,
does he run music buy you a lot? Is that a typical
thing? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. There's so much that's never been released.
Are you, as brothers, are you totally honest in your... You criticize them maybe way more than this would, right?
Well, you've got to... Like, I remember... like when he first started out, there was one song he played me, and I told him I didn't like it, and he said he'd never played it again. And I was like, okay, I don't know if that was some lost masterpiece or something. Because, I think you can say you don't like or something's not your cup of tea, and that doesn't mean it's bad. And I think people need to do that more. Say, rather than I think this person's terrible, rather that's not my cup of tea, but for that genre, it's good. And but I don't understand why, if that makes sense. Generally like your stuff, yeah.
So there you go. Matt was wrong. It turned out to be a huge hit for Ed Sheeran, but probably happy to be wrong. That's something you want to be wrong about. So it became Ed Sheeran's second number one after Shape of You, which, spoiler alert, is coming up later in the countdown. So Ed Sheeran's two number ones so far, both in the top 100. Perfect. And later on, Shape of You coming up. All right, let's keep moving on. And our countdown of the 100 biggest hits in the Hot 100 60-year history. We're up now to number 90. Let the fire get higher.
That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool. Popping pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. Fucking with me, call up on no Uzi and show up, man, them the shot toss. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that thing go grata ta ta.
All right, coming in at number 90, we got Abracadabra by the Steve Miller Band, which was a number one hit back in 1982. Right above that, we've got proof that a Stevie Wonder song never goes out of style. You guys heard Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio featuring LV, which was a number one hit back in the fall of 1995. Reworking of Stevie Wonder's Pastime Paradise from almost 20 years earlier. So again, I think that's something people may not even realize, that it's that they think it's an original because it obviously has the rap verses, but that hook is a total reworking. Stevie Wonder credited as a writer on that song, and just one of those things where, you know, a timeless artist, timeless melody can be recycled into any new hit.
You know, at this point, we're only 12 songs into the countdown so far, and there's been a few songs we've seen that now have multiple versions. And yeah, that's proving your point, Trevor, that great songs always seem to come back around. I Swear, All for One was also a country number one hit for John Michael Montgomery. Prince is...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Both in the 90s and more recently gotten some buzz for his version. He wrote Nothing Compares to You for Sinead O'Connor. Vanilla Ice remade Play That Funky Music. And
hey, don't forget All Night Long has that iconic, you know, chorus and put that in I Like It.
Right.
Enrique Iglesias, Pitbull in 2010.
So it makes sense. You take something that's familiar, and if it's that good, people will always gravitate towards another version of it.
And coming in at number 88, as Gary mentioned, Ed Sheeran's Perfect, the most recent chart topper to make the list. How about we go one right before that? We have the second recent most number one on this list. That is Post Malone's Rockstar featuring 21 Savage, which was a number one for 8 weeks back in 2017. All right, number 87, we got Hot Stuff by Donna Summer, a number one hit in the summer of 1979. This song actually, Gary, do you know who originally, when she had this song and her label president at the time, Neil Bogart, do you know who they suggested that she pass this song on to? This is coming courtesy of our friend Fred Bronson in his Billboard Book of Number One Hits. Great read.
Yeah, which I've read, but I don't remember.
I'd be surprised if you remembered of all those entries. He said that she should pass this song on to Cher. So very well could have been Cher singing Hot Stuff. But Donna Summer, known really for disco records at the time, wanted to branch out, cover a few more genres. Hot Stuff kind of has that more rock base to it. And believe it or not, actually won Donna Summer the Grammy for Best Female Rock Vocal Performance. So I think at a time in the 70s in particular, people are thinking of sort of the heyday of rock music. You would not think of Hot Stuff as something that would be in the rock Grammy category, and not only even in the category, but to win. So huge first there. First African-American woman to win a rock Grammy vocal.
And yeah, you know, Cher never really had a huge disco hit. So maybe in her entire career of so many honors she's had, one thing maybe she missed was Hot Stuff being a big disco hit for her. Have to wait a big dance hit for Believe a little bit later.
And wrapping things up in this group of five, of course, the iconic Billie Jean, Michael Jackson, number one for 7 weeks back in 1983. You almost really can't even say anything about this song because it's just so legendary, so iconic. Everything from the moonwalk to biggest hit to just, I mean, it's just Billie Jean. That's all you need to say. What else can you really say about Billie Jean?
Yeah, and that's what kind of brings into this countdown, too, that, again, it's based on chart performance. So, you know, a lot of people might think, well, that's one of the most iconic songs of all time. How could there be 85 songs above it? But that's just kind of what happens. So over the years, songs have their chart run, but then after that, it's how their legacy plays out long after.
Here is number 85 through 81 of the top Hot 100 hits of all time. Check them out.
There's not a thing that I sugar. Oh, honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me.
Numbers 85 through 81, the Billboard Hot 100's top all-time 100 biggest hits. Back in number 85, again, a song. There aren't that many in this top 100, but this is one of them. Not a number one song. Number two hit for Shania Twain, her biggest hit on the Hot 100. That got to number two in 1998 from her Come On Over album. Big era for female country stars crossing over. Faith Hill had a bunch of hits at that time. Leanne Rimes is coming up later in the countdown with How Do I Live? Number 84, we're talking about Billie Jean before. One of those just feels like a song that everybody knows. Total pop culture immersion. Marvin Gaye, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Number one hit 50 years ago, 1968. Number 83, moving much more forward, 2002, number one. Nelly featuring Kelly Rowland, Dilemma.
All right, as we kind of talked about a little bit earlier with Family Affair by Mary J. Blige. Funny, again, if you hear the song Dilemma, you will never hear Nelly or Kelly Rowland say the word dilemma. So just one of those, I guess in that late 01, 02, that was the thing to do, not put your song title in the lyrics. Also Foolish by Ashanti in the same era.
Yeah,
shouldn't say the word foolish anywhere. So you know, I think a marketer would be kind of, you know, screaming like, hey, that's the easiest way to market your song, is put, you know, give people the hook in the title. But hey, still worked out. They still made it to number one, still on this all-time list. So guess it's cool.
There's one song that makes me think of that. It missed being in that group because of the last three words of the song. George Michael, One More Try, goes the entire, it's over 5 minutes, never says one more try. It's the last lyric of the song. He finally says it.
It's a nice little coda where you think, yeah. You're like, oh, there it is. There it is.
All right, number 82, Just the Way You Are, Bruno Mars. We'll go a little bit more in depth in that in just a second. But number 81, Sugar Sugar, above that, The Archies, number one hit in 1969. So animated group, TV show. You know, TV and music have really been intertwined over the years on the Hot 100. Some of the biggest acts actually have been TV acts. Had number one hits, The Heights in 1992, one of my favorite songs. How Do You Talk to an Angel was a number one hit. And you know, people are always maybe surprised if they don't know the chart history. The act with the all-time most Hot 100 entries is the cast of Glee. Just in those few years when the show was so big, 207 all-time Hot 100 entries, which actually is now
under siege.
Yep, Drake is up to 187. So maybe even by the time Drake drops his next album, the record might even be broken. But with his next one, feels like it could happen. So yeah, another record on the way, it seems, for Drake.
So yes, this turned into somehow a conversation about Drake, even though Drake was nowhere to be seen in this section.
It's 2018, so Drake's going to come up. Yeah, but going back to number 82, Bruno Mars. So that was his breakthrough hit on his own after in earlier 2010. Got his first number one on B.O.B.'s Nothing On You. And then as his own lead artist, he was off and running with Just the Way You Are and then Grenade. And here we are in 2018, and he hasn't stopped at all. Maybe hitting new heights in the last year with 24 Karat Magic, Grammy Awards. A little bit before that, Uptown Funk kind of put him a little bit more in that R&B direction. And obviously that song's coming up here in the top 100. But we had John McMahon on from Atlantic Records. We've had him on multiple times here on the podcast over the last year or so. John does promotion for pop and rhythmic radio for Atlantic. And good time to be in Atlantic promoting Bruno Mars in the last couple of years for all the hits he's been having. Here's how John looked back at the success Bruno Mars has had.
You know, Bruno's had an incredible career at being, you know, influenced by some of the legends and an incredible, you know, ways that R&B and rock and roll and pop music have weaved their way through, you know, chart history. And, you know, I remember hearing him in an interview, I think it was on 60 Minutes, when he said, you know, people were like, hey, you know, that sounds like it's from that song. It sounds like Michael or James Brown's influence in that. And on 60 Minutes, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, yeah, it kind of does. It comes from James Brown. It comes from Michael Jackson. Uh-huh, it comes from Prince. Yes, thank you. That's what it's supposed to sound like, you know, because those are probably the three biggest influences he has said in his career. So, you know, emulating something from the past and having it influence your style of songwriting and your style of production is, I guess, you know, a form of homage to some of the great music that Bruno grew up with. And yeah, I mean, the guy's had an unbelievable year. 2017, obviously, it started in late 16, you know, with 24 Karat Magic single launching, and then the album, and then, you know, all the awards and accolades he's gotten this year that are just unreal. You know, at radio dominating, you know, that's what I like, was number two most played song of the year, you know, at pop and at rhythm and on the overall, you know, just everywhere. I mean, every format played him. It was one of the few songs and artists of the year that, you know, just was pop and rhythm and hot AC and urban AC and AC. I mean, just really from A to Z, had fans at every format and every walk of life.
So, almost a decade into Bruno Mars' career, maybe bigger than he's ever been. And that's really saying something for how huge he started back in 2010 with Just the Way You Are. So still a year left in the decade. Maybe Bruno has a new album coming out just in time for 2019. We'll find out. But yeah, one of the biggest stars, obviously, of the 2010s. And Just the Way You Are, number 82 all time on the Billboard Hot 100. Let's do five more songs this week as we count down the top 100 songs of all time, the Hot 100's first 60 years. Here's 80 to 76.
I said upside down.
Wrapping up the first quarter of the top 100 Hot 100 hits of all time. There at number 80, you guys heard Diana Ross, Upside Down, a big hit for her in 1980, going all the way to number one. One of her last releases on Motown, after nearly 15 years of success with the company. Of course, she was one third of the Supremes back in the 1960s. They got 12 number one hits. Diana struck out solo in 1970, and just in her solo tenure, got six number ones, including Upside Down. Song, of course, helmed by Chic masterminds Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards. And Gary, I didn't know this, even though you know, they all kind of got together, hottest producers of the time, huge superstar Diana Ross, really did not have the same vision for these records. Did you know that Diana Ross actually... a lot of these tracks and remix them because she didn't like the vocals the way they're produced. She sounded too far in the back. She brought herself up more attention with that. It sounds like on paper, maybe like a great collaboration. Oh yeah. Get the hottest producers with this superstar act. We're going to update her sound, update her personality, and a little rougher around the, the studio than people would have thought. Also another number one, of course, number 79, the song Happy by Pharrell Williams. 10 weeks at the top in 2014. And as Gary mentioned sort of in the last segment of five, how TV and music are intertwined. Movies, of course, also very much playing a role in that. Happy featured in Despicable Me 2, which was, of course, a major hit that year as well. So that really gave the song added prominence. And kind of the nice thing about that that may have helped out both songs is, of course, you have kids sing the movie, but also their parents and adults. So it's really you get two generations for the price of one, which may have been a reason that song became such a big hit that spring.
Yeah, and that's kind of music overall, too. There are songs that your parents liked it, you liked it. It's brings that bond. It's a way that people connect. So just to get really cheesy about how music connects people and why we care so much about these songs, that's kind of a key point. It's something that really, at its best, brings people together.
And number 78, one spot above that, we've got That's What Friends Are For. It's done by Dion and Friends. Number one hit in 1986, actually the top song of 1986. And I think this is one of those songs that is great because as much as people get into facts and figures and races between artists and record labels and companies, every once in a while we get a nice charity song, just a great initiative that I think everybody can root for. And this song in particular, one of the great examples. The friends on the record are Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight, and Elton John, who all came together. And again, shout out to Fred Bronson's Billboard Book of Number One Hits. Somehow, Elizabeth Taylor ended up in the studio. And of course, Elizabeth Taylor, especially in the late 1980s, had really started to become a very big advocate for HIV and AIDS awareness and research. And Carol Bayer Sager, one of the co-writers of the song, who was a friend of Taylor's, got the idea to get the proceeds from this song donated to the American Foundation for AIDS Research. So just really about 9 months after We Are the World had done such a great thing for hunger relief in Africa, we also have another charity song at the top of the charts, raising money and awareness for the AIDS epidemic that was really, of course, ravaging the country in the 1980s. All right, just above Dion and her friends at number 77, we got Paula Abdul, the song Rush Rush, number one, 5 weeks in 1991. Hot 100 fun fact, some of the big chart watchers will know, by spending 5 weeks at number one in 1991, became the first song to actually get 5 weeks since Like a Virgin by Madonna in 1984 to 85.
Right.
So in over 5 years, no song had ever been able to link 5 weeks atop the chart. So some quick turnover rates in the mid and late 80s. But Paula stopped that streak. And of course, how better to do it with a ballad? Something that I think a lot of people did not really think Paula Abdul had in her.
Remember my Carly Simon Brush with Fame story?
Let's go. How did you meet Paula?
No, when I was interning, again, at Mix Radio in Boston, when I spoke to Carly Simon on the phone, it was either right before or after, Paula Abdul came in. And I met her and seemed actually kind of serious. I maybe, you know, thought maybe she'd be a little goofier, kind of based on some of the video to Opposites Attract, kind of fun. But she seemed very, was a little more low key than I might have expected, but very, very friendly. But, you know, kind of an interesting point in her career. This was, I think it was 1995 when she had her first album out since 1991. There's a top 40 hit. It wasn't that big a hit. My Love Is For Real, Crazy Cool. So it was a follow up, a few singles from it. But, she was nowhere at that point. Music had obviously changed since 1991 to 1995. Grunge and hip hop had become so big since then. So it's kind of an interesting point to have met her in her career, where she was, you know, one of the biggest things in the late 80s, early 90s, and then obviously had this whole resurgence in the 2000s, just a few years later when American Idol would come along, but kind of met her in that point where she wasn't as in demand. And you can trace that with a lot of people on this list. Careers have ebbs and flows, and just because you were huge once doesn't mean you're going to stay there, but also means maybe you can come back at some point. And she's a pretty good example that success can always come around. You never know. Is that a better story? Slightly better.
Yeah. Well, we met her in person, so we are improving.
At some point, I'll get to it. I actually had a real conversation with someone.
No, that's coming up. You can stay tuned for these next three episodes. We're going to track not only the Hot 100's progression, but Gary's progression of meeting celebrities.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wrap things up pretty appropriately, I think, with the first introduction on this list of Paul McCartney, of course, one of the biggest icons in music of all time, and his duet with Stevie Wonder, number 76, Ebony and Ivory. So I guess if you're listening to this podcast, you get your own version of Paul and Stevie every week. We're just as good, just as talented, just as successful. No questions asked. Probably appropriate that we end, of course, with McCartney, who will feature on this list several times in several iterations. Here we have, of course, an example of some of his all-star duets. We'll have, yes, a song with Michael Jackson coming up later down the list. He'll also make the list through his solo Paul McCartney work, his work with Wings, and, of course, as one-fourth of the Fab Four, that would be the Beatles. So maybe it's only fitting that we bring this first chapter of our top 100 countdown to a close with maybe the most prolific artist, really, of the rock and roll era.
Yeah, and Stevie Wonder, really all over this first 25 songs here. We heard him sampled through Gangsta's Paradise and back on That's What Friends Are For. So really no surprise. We're going to talk about the all-time biggest hits that both Paul McCartney, but Stevie Wonder, too, would be a big part of that.
Yeah, and we will certainly see them again. And next week, we, of course, will keep counting down. We'll go from 75 all the way to 51. Plenty of more all-star names and all-star hits coming your way.
Brandy and Monica coming up next week in the next batch of songs. Meghan Trainor, Lord, The Monkees, Kesha, Bee Gees, Blondie, Boys to Men, and think an artist you like, Trevor. Whitney Houston's coming up next week, too.
So be sure to tune in next week for week number two of our countdown of the top 100 hits on the Hot 100 of all time. As we mentioned, if you want to go to billboard.com, you can see the full list. If you want to cheat and get ahead, you can find out the 75 to 1 there as well. Also, don't forget, of course, the top 100 artists of all time.
And lots of other stuff, too, as part of this whole feature. Stories about different hits, different artists over the years. That's all on billboard.com as well. Again, on SiriusXM, if you're listening to that as well, Billboard's own Hot 100 channel for a few days through Sunday, August 5th, playing chronological number ones throughout the Hot 100's entire 60-year history. So really just a huge celebration going on for the Hot 100's 60th anniversary.
And of course, we left things off with a Stevie Wonder hit with Paul McCartney. We're going to give you a little bonus McCartney to send you out. Our friend Gary, a big fan of one of his 2018 releases, so we're going to keep it current from one of the greatest of all time. I'm going to let my man Gary set it up since he is such a big fan.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good new music from Paul McCartney. New album coming out in just a little bit, a few weeks, called Egypt Station. Two songs have been released. I think they're both really good. It's a ballad, I Don't Know, which is good. It's not me not knowing the title of the song. It's called I Don't Know.
He tricked you up. You know, yeah. He set you up there.
Yeah. And the song that's becoming actually an adult alternative radio songs hit, it's called Come On To Me. New Paul McCartney. Wrapping up this week's Billboard Chart Beat Podcast.
I saw you flash a smile that seemed to me to say you wanted so much more than casual conversation. I swear I caught a look.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.